From time to time, the question arises about testimony and stumbling blocks, and so we're going to be turning to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 dealing with the testimony of a believer in the world. It's easy to get some of these things confused, especially when you think in terms of stumbling block. We don't want to cause stumbling blocks, do we? What's interesting is that Scripture rarely refers to that as being towards an unbeliever. That is to say, it hardly ever talks about a Christian being a stumbling block to an unbeliever. It always talks about a Christian being a stumbling block to another believer. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because I know that a lot of people are pretty worried about, you know, what the world thinks. Well, you know, they're going to be offended. Well, but isn't that what Christ did? He offended the world. In Matthew chapter 15, his disciples were a little taken back. Don't you know that the Pharisees were offended? Well, they're going to be offended. And Peter writes in particular about the fact that those of the world are surprised. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. They're surprised that we don't run in the same dissipation as they. In other words, why do you believers abstain from certain things? Why do you not do the things that we do? Well, we don't want to offend them. Yes, we do. We want them to see us as different. Now, I think it's important that Scripture is also very clear that it's not our job to go around telling them not to do things because they're unbelievers. And Paul will write in particular in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what do we have to do with judging unbelievers? That's not our job. So I think a lot of times people get it confused that our judging has nothing to do with what we do. We're going to try to do the right thing, and by that, we should be distinctive in the world. Nevertheless, Scripture doesn't tell us, or tells us specifically, that we shouldn't tell a non-believer not to do that, because that's not our job. They might ask us, well, do you think it's wrong? Well, I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's right for you. No, but you're going to have to decide this on your own, and the Lord's going to have to convict your heart, and you're going to have to get right with Him in order to do that. Because once again, you can't expect a non-believer to think like a Christian. So it would be judgmental in that regard. And of course, Matthew 5 says, don't judge. And the things that you judge, you're going to be held accountable. Now, that's an interesting text in the sense that it doesn't ultimately say don't judge anybody. It just says be careful how you judge and make sure your life is in order so that you can see clearly. But in almost every case, when it talks about a person judging somebody else appropriately, it's when a Christian judges another believer or talks to them in the realm of correction. And judgment can be used in all kinds of ways. In other words, it's not my job to beat you up. The Lord will take care of that. But it is my responsibility to correct a brother. But never is it our responsibility to correct an unbeliever. And I think this is where a lot of Christians get themselves in trouble. Now, that also doesn't mean that we compromise our faith or our standards for the sake of non-believers because we're afraid that they might get offended because we're doing the right thing. And this is what Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And if you look with me, he begins by saying that all of the children of Israel had all the wonderful benefits of seeing the presence of God. And he says, nevertheless, after seeing the great glory of God and His great miraculous workings among them, they still were not pleasing to God because of the fact that they were going their own way and were easily tempted and dissuaded by the things of the world. And we pick up in verse 1. I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, about our fathers, that we're all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink. God parted the waters for them, and He supplied from heaven above. And they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us that we should not crave evil things as they crave them. So what it's talking about is that God rescued them out of a realm of the world and is calling upon us to be different, be unique. Nevertheless, it says, and do not, verse 7, be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and stood up to play, nor let us act immorally as some of them did, 23,000 fell in one day. Now, what we know in that particular context in the book of Numbers is is that they were melding with the Moabites, and they intermarried with them. And the interesting phrase in that particular text is, they sat down and bowed down to their gods. The world is wanting you to bow down to their gods. They're wanting you to bow down to their standards. They're wanting you to acquiesce to their desires. And by Christians, we do not do that. We take a firm stand. We will not do that. They say, well, you're judging. No, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying I cannot do that. The Lord has called me, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, as you end the rest of the chapter. It says very clearly, do not be bound together with unbelievers. What fellowship is light with darkness? We are unique in the sense that God has called us to higher standards. And he ultimately ends in this particular chapter in which he says, you're not looking to seek your good, but you're looking to seek the good of your neighbor. And more specifically, he talks in the realm of brothers. You cannot offend your brothers. And there are going to be times that you might feel free to do certain things, but you're always going to take what? The higher standard. You can never offend somebody by taking the higher standard yourself. And this is the key point within the text. You will always offend by taking the lower standard. And compromise never brings ministry. You'll never be able to minister to somebody by compromise. I think the thought is, well, if we just are seeker sensitive and somehow we compromise our standards so that we might allure them into our pack, somehow that's going to bring the glory to God. And Scripture is very clear. You don't ever minister by compromise. Jesus Christ himself, who knew no sin. Think about that. That he might fulfill what, as we've been reading? All righteousness. So how do you minister to the world? By fulfilling all righteousness. And that's always heading towards. And, you know, I think is probably the reason why he speaks of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that as an athlete, we compete and demonstrate self-control in all things. That there are many things that we're not going to be able to do simply because we believe that it would somehow cause a brother to stumble. And we're going to take that higher stand for the sake of the brethren. For the sake of the brethren, we're going to take that higher stand. Will it be offensive at times to the world? Absolutely. They're dumbfounded that we're not doing what they're doing. But that's part of our testimony, isn't it? Well, Father, we give you thanks for the wonderful call that you have called us into, the call of light that separates us from darkness. Lord, let there be a distinction in our life. Lord, never help us to be keep us from being condescending or hateful or embittered towards those that are not believers. Lord, may we reach out in your love, but may we never reach out in compromise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.